CosmicRadio.tv.
This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Robert Gervais. Joining me today, live in studio,
Rosa Guthrie.
Yeah, because I'm so used to saying Rosa Fussy.
I know, I changed my name. It's all official now.
Well, it's good that you did, because, I mean, that's always good. How you been?
I've been good. Busy with work,
You've been jonesing with no Overwatch access? Because the beta's... I think the beta's done already.
Did they? I did try to log in yesterday, and I was like, what the hell do you mean can't find server? Okay, fine, I'll go play Heroes of the Storm.
Where's Overwatch?
Oh, is that what happened? I really seriously didn't realize that. Thank you for telling me, because I would have gone home to try to log in again.
That's Motherfuck. Amazing. That's amazing, because that's what I've been hearing from a lot of my friends who play Overwatch, like, the beta's over.
Boo. Oh, shit, all my characters, I'm losing all my levels.
Okay, because I've not played a lot of Overwatch. Who was your character of choice? Who was the person? Because again,
Zarya and Mercy.
Interesting. So you went with the, because Zarya is the spider assassin.
No, that's Widowmaker.
That's Widowmaker. Okay.
I can't play the freaking. I tried. I can't play assassin. No.
Because I have not played an ounce. I missed even the open beta. I've not played an ounce of Overwatch, and I've wanted to because it looks. It looks so goddamn fun.
It is. And not just fun. It's beautiful. The graphics are great. The sound bites are hilarious. I like Zarya. She sounds Russian.
And yeah, she's like, Tana Gaza chat room says Zarya for the win.
She dies and responds. She's like, just a little setback. it's really good.
This is now coming from... Okay, so the last team battle... First FPS game I played, because obviously everyone's hearkening, everyone's bringing this up when they talk about Overwatch, is, well, we try to pitch, what's Overwatch like? Well, it's kind of like Team Fortress 2 if Blizzard made it, and I guess that's the thing. But that's my favorite reference is Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
How would you, I would say Team Fortress 2, there's classes. There's not so much of these characters. You have, a medic, and you have,
But it's that same concept,
right?
Though.
Each one is that. But how? Because I imagine that having, because what the counter the character counts. What is it like? I know it's a big number.
I don't know. There's 5 defense, 4 healers,
okay,
5 assassins, and...
Yeah, that's why I know it's over... I was about to say 40, but I was thinking it's 20.
No, it's probably 20.
I think it's 20.
Yeah,
someone in the chat room will correct me really quick. But I know it's a high number. It's a very high number. So I guess here comes the question I'll ask, because obviously you started mentioning 4 defense, 5 healers, and that... who is, because do you have at least at this point in time as you're playing a go-to in each
class? So if I have to fill in a certain role, actually I don't even know how to say it, Top Yarn, he's this dwarf mechanic guy. He lays down a turret and he's my defense guy for a tank, Reinhardt and Zarya. And I like using Symmetra for defending as a, healer support. Mercy is badass. If you can play her, hop around. I've gotten lots of props playing Mercy, which, you know what? I will take it. I will prop myself up because I'm just a healer. That's just what I do. Every Bjorn. Is that really what you say?
I think it's Bjorn.
Yeah. Bjorn.
Because there's so many weird characters. What's funny is as a guy that's on the outside looking into Overwatch, I almost wish there was a single player campaign.
You mentioned that.
Before, I think on either Jump Point or just in passing between you and I, because especially I started watching a lot of the short films.
They need to make a movie. There's lore there. There's story.
There's a weird amount of lore. Yeah, I want to say
there's juice there.
Tanagas is Tjorn Bjorn, or as we like to call him, Toblerone.
Toblerone. Yes, that's what it looks like to me.
Toblerone. Amazing. But yeah, because it's such a the game when it first got announced, it was like, okay, cool. They're making an FPS. You know, this right. is what.
Isn't that what took over that other project they had? They abandoned Titan.
Not Titanfall, because Titanfall's the actual game.
Right.
Titan something. Someone will tell me in the chat room again. But yes, it did take over what the remnants of that. And what's interesting is that when that game got announced, like, well, cool, I guess it'll have, you know, because we all think, oh, it'll be just like first, it'll be like, you know, the little cool shorts that are all kind of funny and silly, like Team Fortress 2. And then the game came out, the shorts started coming out and started building up these like actual like storylines of what Project Overwatch was and who these like robots are and why they're important. Project Titan. Thank you, Tanagasa. Yeah. And it was like Project something like that. And what all these characters meant and their hidden intrigue storyline. And I go,
and they're already setting the characters so that you find them endearing, that you find yourself already developing an emotional connection with the characters, whether it's the bad guys or the good guys.
Right. And it was interesting was that because I didn't. Because, like, even watching it, I think the last one was Alive, I think, was the, or was it Alive, I think?
Yeah, the one with Tracer and Widowmaker.
Yeah. It's already setting up, like, the villains, which is interesting.
Absolutely.
Already interesting that they're making, even in the fiction, like, this, because I would almost imagine, like, they would have done that, like, you know, that kind of thing.
It needs a graphic novel.
Well, something where it gives that, because it's almost because even though Team Fortress 2 has some sort of lore, not a heck of a whole lot of it, you know, it has just enough to make you kind of like, oh, that's funny, let's keep playing the game.
Yeah, no, this has a lot, and they're going to continue developing.
It's such a funny thing. Like we're talking about it on Jump Point, the idea of IPs and that this is a new intellectual property from Blizzard.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can already see, like, just based on these little shorts, just how they would do it.
I actually want a whole little, like, figurine set. I want one already. Like, I want some of my favorite characters on my desk. You know
who? Okay, who is the character in Overwatch that now that the beta's done? Now that you probably have to wait till release because you know it's gonna come soon. I think it's like in a month, right, or two?
May 26th.
Yeah, in a month. Yeah, quite.
Oh my god. Yeah, where's this month gone?
It's almost. Yeah, I'll be on vacation then. But it won't matter. But still, you know, it'll be. I might be back from Mexico at that point in time. But that being said, who is the character that, because you already have your go-tos, that's good, but who's the character you're going to really figure out how to play that you didn't get a chance to play during the beta, that you kept saying, you know what, I'll get around to it one time, that you're going to really learn? Oh, apparently open beta is next week, so you're fine. You get to play next week.
Okay, so next week.
Who's going to be the next? Because I know you and Heroes of the Storm, like, you always had go to people, but you know, there's those moments where you're like, yeah, fuck it, let's go to draft.
Actually, you know what? I just did that. Like, I have fallen in love with Murky. I've been murking the shit out of everyone. It's been great. I will slap him with that shark. It's amazing. But I want to get better with Pharah. I want to get better with assassins in general. I'll play Tracer just because she has a lot of survivability.
Yeah,
low health, but she has a good way to get out of situations. Overall, I don't have the dexterity. I don't know what it is. I'm not great with assassins.
Interesting.
I'm finding it that I am letting down the team by playing an assassin.
So because I am the newbie into Overwatch, but I am not the newbie into MOBAs and things like that. Something tells me they borrowed the naming conventions from that, because you kept saying healers, assassins, defenders.
Yeah, they added a couple. Like, they have snipers, you know, and when you're building a team, which is a team of six.
Yeah.
It tells you you have low damage on this team makeup, or you have few defense heroes, or no sniper on this team.
Which is interesting for sure as an FPS, as a team-based game, because typically they never tell you that in those games.
Like, no, exactly.
You
know, they kind of give you a prompt.
I think it's really intriguing that they explain to you, okay, guys, if you go into battle this way,
You're lacking this.
Yeah. If you can, you know, because again, it doesn't force you to say,
No.
You need a healer in your team. It's,
you know,
like,
what's great is you can double up. I saw an amazing defense team the other day with a Reinhardt, two Reinhardts, two Mercies, and then, you know, two assassins, whatever they were playing. I think a Pharah and what's the guy with the gun? McCree?
Okay.
And the gun, they all have guns.
Yeah, but the same.
That guy with the gun and the stuff.
That's kind of a quintessential thing in a first-person shooter game.
The Wild West guy, McCree.
The Wild West guy. That dude, the one with the six-shooter.
He's wearing that thing with the stuff.
The thing with the stuff.
I'm really bad. My words fail me tonight.
That's okay.
But yeah, so I'm sure it was telling them, hey, you have low defense, you know, you have low damage on this team. We could not touch them. We could not touch these fuckers. The Mercies were flying left and right, healing them, and the two Reinhardts were just shielding the shit out of them. And they just, I think the game was over in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they just trucked along. So it's really cool. It allows for a lot of combinations. And
well, the thing that's what's interesting is that I like the idea that it prompts you, because especially as, you know, one of the things that always scares new players away from something is a multiplayer thing. Not because it's multiplayer,
yeah,
but because
I think less so now.
I think less so now, but I think even
but it's still intimidating.
Well, because like it's like let's take for example again, you know, like the more hardcore something is, the harder thing it is. Like, I guess that's what I'm putting it is, it's why new players are very adamant to go into something like a CS:GO or even like Halo multiplayer unless they've been playing for a while, okay, because things get scary. But I like the idea that in Blizzard's game, as opposed to sort of like, you know, making, I mean, it's still a challenge because you're playing multiplayer no matter what, but it's saying, hey, if you kind of want a really good average team build or something that's going to help you kind of start playing,
yeah,
here are the components you're going to need. You know, here's where you're weak. You may want to have someone play this.
And they have an easy way to see, you know, by hitting F1 anytime, you get a quick reminder. It tells you what the you know, buttons do,
yeah,
and where the power things are or whatever. It's just really well, it was very well thought of, well developed, and I think it is good for, you know, newbies.
Right.
And people just learning the game.
Right. Well, it's important for that because, again, the one thing that scared me for the longest time on League was because it had this sort of thing. And that's why when we got into Heroes of Storm, I felt a lot happier and sort of more comfortable because it didn't feel like it never, you know, there's still this bot mode, but it you know, it had this fun little training thing. And League has that too after I've kind of learned about it. But
yeah,
it just always, League of Legends always had that kind of scary thing.
I think it's gotten too large, but that's going to happen, right? With any of these games.
It will.
How many characters can you play in League of Legends?
A ton. I couldn't even
like
tell you.
700?
Yeah, something like that. Something crazy. But the thing is, I agree. Eventually, you know, Overwatch will probably hit that point. But
all of them, Heroes is kind of edging there. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of characters now.
Yeah, but I think Heroes of Storm, I mean, the beauty part of Heroes of Storm is that the advantage League has and Heroes has is they're both free to play. You know, you can just hop in whenever and that kind of thing. And like, I have not played Heroes in forever and I feel bad.
I know. I keep harassing you about it.
Because like, I honestly have just been like, I just need to kick it on. Because I just need to play on the damn Mac and just spin it up and see what happens. The part is I'm scared if I get on, I know that no matter what, like I'd have to play a couple of bot matches because I am
just to warm up.
I am so goddamn rusty in that game.
And you know what's intimidating is after having left for a while, like 7 new characters have been introduced since you've been gone. So, you know, you go to play, there's these characters that you don't know what they do.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, what the fuck is happening here?
But I am excited to kind of look into what Tracer can do because I like it's funny, out of all the characters I've started looking at, I mean, and yes, I am susceptible to marketing of Overwatch because I don't play the game.
By the way,
I love Tracer's character.
I don't know why I thought this. So I thought Tracer was going to be exclusive for a longer amount of time. You know, if you pre-purchased Overwatch.
Right.
So I pre-purchased Overwatch. I'm like, yeah, I get Tracer. And I thought...
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
Yeah, I thought that I would have it longer than everyone else. Like, I thought, okay, I get an edge. I'm going to, like, really learn this character. And but then, like, a week or 2 weeks later,
it's like, yeah, you
everybody can have it. So I guess the bonus is I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have to spend gold or real money.
Right, but you did spend real money on a game.
Yeah, so I was like, I wanted to feel special longer.
It's okay. They'll give you something special. I mean, the beauty part about...
They should give me a mount.
They'll give you a mount. Let's see. I'll tell you what you'll get when you purchase Overwatch now. I've not even looked at what you can buy, but I'm going to guess you're going to get a special card back for Hearthstone.
Oh, yes.
You're going to get your...
Which, by the way, there's free packs going right now.
Are there free packs?
Yeah, because of the old Whispers of the Old Gods came out.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to get the free packs then. That's also the game I haven't clicked on.
Did I download that?
That's also a game I haven't played in like forever is Hearthstone. I am so behind on so many games, it's not even funny.
I know, but it's like there's too many games and not enough time.
That's what it is, and that's sort of why I've buckled down on like single player games that I want to get through.
And you almost have to do that. I'm still getting through Fallout 2.
Yeah.
I'm still like,
I need to like I will probably be only because I seem to do more gaming in my bedroom. And, yeah. And because again, this has become sort
there's
of
more setup in there. Like I've only ever been out here. So
well, because this is where this is the delineation point. In here, it is PC, you know, land, console land, Mac land.
Yeah, but I see a like the PS, the PS3, and your Xbox 360.
Yeah, they.
So you have your other stuff in there.
So inside there though is my 3DS.
Okay.
And so that is Bravely Second land right now. And let me tell you, Bravely Second is hitting that JRPG nerve that that I forget I always have every time I play a JRPG. And
then you get into it.
Well, because it's fun. It's a fun game. And you know, I can kind of lay down on my bed and sort of, you know, do whatever and at the same time back. But even here, like I'm getting through random read-only memories on my computer and my Mac over there. I need to get back to Fallout 4 here on my PC. And there's probably a couple other games that I should play. And then there's all the other multiplayer games that I'm lacking.
I know. And I want the 3DS. Like, I want the 3DS, and I want to do all the Pokemons. Like, because I did it, what is it, Red and Blue back in the day.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want to start fresh. I want to have all of them. I am really sad that I didn't jump into that deal, that the same one Charles did with the back and the Pokemon special release. I just have to be good. I can't buy them all. And then if I get that, then I stop playing the other game I'm trying to finish and just have to pace myself.
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, it's such a strange thing. It's one of those things that like I know it's like, oh, we have too many games to play. And it's more of a like there are games that I know I want to get through them. And I know it's like weird. It's like, oh, that's such a weird problem. You know, it's such a terrible problem to have too much entertainment to play.
I know, right? Oh, wow, first world problems.
Yeah, but it's totally. No, and I know that. And that's why I'm like, I don't talk about it too much because it's just like, I know the game. I know ultimately what it is that I just haven't spun up a multiplayer game just because I haven't. I almost haven't had the desire to spin up a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
You know, but if
Recluse.
Well, it's not even that. It's just a matter of like, of the multiplayer games I want to play, it's like, I want to play Heroes, but I know if I come in now that I have to play with a group of friends that are totally and utterly cool with losing very, very, very hardcore.
But that's fine though.
They have to be comfy that with Hearthstone, it's more of a, I know why I haven't gone back to Hearthstone.
Why?
It's because I desperately miss Magic, and every time I play Hearthstone, reminds me I should just get back into Magic every fucking time.
Magic is so exhausting. Like I enjoy Magic.
I love it way more than Hearthstone.
But the investment, and let's just be frank, okay? It's weird. There is still a strange male-female split in the world of Magic.
I'll give you that.
And showing up to play with a bunch of dudes.
I'll give you that. I will not disagree with you there. That is totally and utterly... that is a valid concern.
So I'm just like I'm good.
And that sort of thing is that like for me it's both the investment and the
time investment, money investment.
You know, and then that's one. And then I mean, thankfully, you know, and even then, a lot of the things that sort of fill that niche of Magic have been like board games and like weird things like this, and even in some regard, social gatherings. You know, but a lot of just me playing multiplayer game has just been I just haven't had the major desire to go into that kind of multiplayer game. And maybe that tells me something like there's another multiplayer game that I should be checking out.
Yeah, maybe there's something out there. But you know what? But maybe not. Maybe fuck it. But, play, you know.
Right.
Like you're kind of over, you know, fantasy right now.
Yeah.
You know, just you're into whatever you're into right now.
And that might be why I'm like kind of going through a whole bunch of like adventure games, because there's been a very much a large resurgence of that. And there have been a lot of them I missed, like, you know, like I said, read-only memories that came out like sometime earlier last year.
Okay.
And there's another game that I even played, Dropsy, that I got to talk to the developer, Jay Tholen on.
Okay.
Amazingly cool guy and amazingly cool. If I tell you about the game, you will cringe in horror because of that. I think I've told you about it before, but Dropsy essentially, the story, it follows the story of Dropsy, a clown.
Oh, yes. No, you did tell me. And I
have no other thing to say, but it's amazingly glorious. And it's
hard. But it sounded sad, too. So
it is very sad, but it's very happy.
But you know, it's like you like emotional games. Like, I don't want anything emotional in my life.
Which is
maybe
the thing is that like I like. And this is not to say that AAA games do not have this, because there are some AAA games that do have this. And this isn't, you know, just I don't want to make that broad stereotype of it's all indie games that have this, which there are some indie games that don't have this. And there's some AAA games that do have this. But I tend to like things that sort of that I connect to in some way, you know, whether it be
fair, but yours seems to be like this, like extreme emotional. What's that one sad game with the time travel and the girls?
The time travel and the girls.
Yes. Life is Strange.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Life is Strange.
I think I described it properly.
Sure, totally. That's how it goes down.
I think I ended up buying it. I think.
What'd you think about it?
Well, I haven't played it. I think I've got it on Steam. It was on my wish list.
Right.
So I purchased it, so it's in there. But it's like, I need to make sure I have taken, like, my happy pills before I sit and play something like that.
It's not depressing. It's...
It's emotionally heartstring tugging is what it sounds like to me. Even when you read the bio.
Yeah. What's funny about Life is Strange and I think why it really resonated with me, one, because it has such there are times where I wish I could talk to developers and I'd love to talk to those guys and have a chit chat with them, because there are so many weird moments in that game.
I just want to talk to them about it. You're like, I just need to talk to you about moment.
Well, it's not even that. It's more of the idea of saying, you know, you play the game and you're like, man, you really loved Donnie Darko as much as I loved Donnie Darko, didn't you? And to have that kind of conversation.
That connection.
It's funny because like I realize even that game, and as I've now started going more and more to music and kind of figuring things out, like there's something about me and the indie sound that I didn't quite knew I liked. But like a lot of the music in there is like the indie music scene in there. Like they have a lot of like French music in there. Like, you know, French artists kind of do English, but like,
interesting.
Yeah, it's a really,
really
cool license.
For that?
You cannot, but I have a playlist on Apple Music, which I'll share with you.
Yes, please
do. I'll play it for you when we're done, when the show's up, because right now we're on YouTube and we'll get hit by all the content strikes in the world. But it's an amazing soundtrack, an amazing game, and it hit me at the moment, because even like the other game that hit me like as hard as, maybe not as hard as that, but probably harder, was like Gone Home, which is not a long game. I mean, and people, you know, you could argue like, well, is it really a game? Because all you do is walk around. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Is that the one with the little girl and then the robot?
No. Gone Home is the one where you come home. It's like set in the 90s. You come home to like an empty house. And that's the best way I could pitch it without explaining too much.
Why did
it's
I think
game.
A robot? I think I know. I can see it in my head. Yeah. I don't know. There's not
a
robot.
No. It's not a heck of a long game. Robot. But, you know, like it's one of my top games that year, on top indie games that year, you know. And so for me, a lot of it is that I tend to resonate with games more, not that are emotional, but that have something
that you can make an emotional connection with.
Yeah. Like, cause that's sort of why I really enjoyed as much as I love the gameplay of Undertale, it's why I loved it way more, because, you know, as a huge, you know, mother, if it's not a parent, as a huge Mother Series fan, I connected so much with that game. And I was like, yeah, this guy played the Mother Series and learned the lessons and understood exactly what it meant. And I, you know, I was,
channeled it and delivered this to me.
I was cheering up by the end, and I was, you know, crying and smiling and being like, yeah, this, I had the exact same feeling that I've ever had every time I've completed Earthbound, every time I completed Mother 3. It was like, I have that exact same, you know, big giant smile on my face. I'm like, yep, this is. And I played it again for a second time, even knowing the motions. And I did it very closely by accident, because I'd essentially screwed up my save files. I was like, okay, well, I get it back to where I want to get it back to. And as I beat it, I had the exact same smile on my face. I was like, okay, well, I'll come back in a year.
This is good.
Yeah, I will come back in a year and relive this again.
That's awesome.
You're apparently thinking of maybe Grow Home.
Grow Home.
Which might be the thing. But
wait, what are we growing?
I don't know, home. but that sort of thing is that I tend to like games that have not, it doesn't have to be, you know, a sad game or depressing game, but something where the person thought, how, you know, how is it? Because again, like, I think of like the characters I connect with a lot of these games, you know, I Gone Home, like, you know, the character in question that you're looking into is your sister, and you're a female in the game, and your sister sort of questioning her sexuality and going to that. It's a really cool exploration game for that. Your eyes are going wide. Like, what do you mean?
You know, that's too real. Like, I want to play games like Ori.
Right.
But even that has
a connection to it. Because, like, the kicking off of the game
Even
taking something like one of the games that I do need to play. But like, and everyone screams the high heavens is one of the amazing games, and I've seen it, and I agree. Shadows of the Colossus.
Uh-huh.
You know, at the end of the day, that game is about how the character deals with loss, you know, and all these kind of challenges and stuff. And it's a
true,
you know, and it's a cool. And again, that game, you know, as that, or even Journey, you know, Journey as an indie game where you're just this almost kind of face, you know, voiceless character kind of going on this, you know, kind of journey and sort of rebuilding.
I'm not familiar with Journey for some
reason.
Amazing
indie game. Yeah. But, you know, even Fez has some of that stuff.
And maybe what I really mean is not that I don't develop emotional connections with characters or games. It's just, I guess I don't like the reality. I don't like.
You don't like things that are within the here and now. You tend to like things. Not saying that they need to be within the here and now, but like things
I want
that,
fantastical.
Right, that's okay. That's fine. And
even Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah,
like,
no,
like,
I get you. Something that's otherworldly. Because and again, that's what a lot of people tend to talk about when they come to these sort of games. Like, I don't want to have anything in the real world. Not because they want nothing in the real world or anything like that, but because like I deal with this shit all the time. Let me go into my weird fantasy world.
Yes,
that doesn't. But for me, I am that way too. I do like those games, but for me, if even in those fantastical games, I want that emotional connection. I want that thing that makes me sort of either fall in love with his character or not all the games need to make you have the feels. No, for sure.
Heroes of the Storm. I have no feels. I log on. Well, maybe the only feels I occasionally get is I feel like throwing my keyboard across the room.
For me, a lot of those games where they fit the niche for me and Heroes of the Storm is the like if it weren't for the fact, and I think this is why I liked Heroes versus League better. And I realized it as I was talking to friends of mine, because if it weren't for the fact that these, we talked about this at the very beginning too, you and I've had this discussion, I think we've had it even last time you were on.
Probably.
If it weren't for the fact that it didn't have that Blizzard charm, I probably wouldn't be playing it.
Right. Because we've all developed emotional connections
with these characters,
with Kerrigan and Nova.
Yeah, it's like when...
And Thrall.
When Kerrigan
like,
gets, you know, and again, spoiler for the original StarCraft, if you don't know this, although you probably know this because you play Heroes of Storm. If you don't, something's up with you. Because, you know, at one point Kerrigan was human, you know, for those who don't know.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know.
You know, and when Kerrigan gets converted in the first StarCraft, it's like, oh, damn it. You know, that was Raynor's, you know, person.
Yeah,
you know, and Jim Raynor, when you come into StarCraft, you know, Wings of Liberty, you find him at the, you know, at the bottom of a whiskey bottle, you know, and it's just like, that's exactly where I would be. It's like, fuck this land. Yes. I'd be drinking myself retarded too.
If you haven't watched, the theatricals, I think they have them on YouTube, and it's like a 2-hour thing, maybe just shy of 2 hours, and it's all the shorts, and it basically puts the story together for you.
Yeah,
and
because that's why, like again, Raynor, that's one thing,
such
I always,
a great story.
That was the one thing I loved about Wings of Liberty, was that it opens up with like Raynor at the bottom, you know, literally at the bottom of a whiskey bottle, and he's just like what the fuck do you want? What the fuck do you want, Titus?
Yeah, soldier, like, get the fuck up.
And it's like, it's time to go. Like, why? I'm like, I don't give a shit anymore. I was like, that was such an amazing, it was such an amazing moment. I'm like, it's good to see Raynor back, but I'm like, yep, that's exactly where Raynor would be.
Yeah.
After all the shit that went down in the last. In Brute, was it
Brood Wars?
Brood Wars. I was all the shit that went down. It's like, that's the only way that it goes down. It's him in the bottom of a whiskey bottle. But Heroes of Storm is basically, because even Heroes of Storm makes a joke of the tutorial. It's like, why the fuck are we all here? I don't know. It's a game.
Uther's giving you the tour.
Uther of all people is giving you.
Because
even you take the idea of like the storyline in World of Warcraft. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, Warcraft in general.
Tassadar. Sorry.
Even if you take the story in World of Warcraft, like you have all these characters like Because like the Lich King was what he was originally. Was it Arthur?
Arthas?
Arthas? Yeah. Like even that has like there's some fucking pathos in there too.
No, well, and it's all of it, you know. That you just get each character and you know that there's a story.
Yeah.
Zagara.
Yeah.
And they have banked not only on all this lore, but then they've made it funny.
That's the point, and that's the thing. That's what it is. That's why I think, you know, where. What attracted me to that and to Hearthstone was it had less to do with the card game, had less to do with the MOBA aspect, had everything to do with the Blizzard humor.
It is. It's humor, the flavor, the you know, they kind of stuck to their art.
Because even like Hearthstone, like the things I liked the most, because I never played World of Warcraft. I never really got deep into World of Warcraft. But when it was during the Wrath of Lich King expansion thing, it was just so funny to hear these characters like, wait, hold on a second. You know, like they break the fourth wall. They have humor levels. It was so fucking funny.
They kept that in this. Well, they've kept that in all of their games.
And so it's funny to see that because like immediately a new character got introduced in Hearthstone. Like everyone else would be like, all right, let's figure out strategy. Let's see how we play the game. How do we do this? How do we do that? What's his ability to do? How did I'd immediately go to the demo and just start, you know, completely clicking in. Like, let me hear the fucking quotes.
Yeah, I do. I click. I want to hear all the things.
Fuck all this other noise. I want to hear the pokey quotes.
Is Zagara? She goes, long live the queen. Everyone else can die.
Yes. Because like some of them are so fun. I mean, some of them are funny. Like I think even I'm trying to remember like some of the funnier, a lot of the funny ones. Because even they started getting really silly when they started like making the you know, costumes and voices you could do, and like all the different voices would change and the quotes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because they do the different voices with the scene. They've just done a really good job.
And that sort of thing. Like for me, that's what appeals to me right away are the humor levels. And so. But even that is any emotional connection. Even that is like connecting humorally.
You know what? I understand that.
It's a matter of endearing a character to me, even if someone that's, you know, silly and funny and a really funny game. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be like. It doesn't mean it has to be this. Like the thing I can hate the thing I hate the most in any game and in any fiction, mind you, whether it be video game, book, movie, television, or otherwise, is the bland character. It is the character that's just sort of. That sort of follows the same motions, unless you're doing something silly with it. Like, unless you're doing something like a Captain Hammer from, like, you know, Dr. Horrible Sing Along blog. Where,
right.
Where if you take Captain Hammer, he is all the typical, you know, I mean, his opening song is like a man, you know, gotta do what a man's gotta do.
I'm not even gonna try.
But there's an amazing point in that movie where, again, where he endears himself, it's like, and these are not the hammer.
I don't remember that
quote. The hammer is my penis. Oh. You don't remember that quote?
I don't remember
it's
that quote.
It's an amazing quote.
I haven't Dr. Horrible's watched Dr. Horrible.
That's such an amazing quote.
I'm going to go watch it tonight.
The hammer is my penis. Because, it's Nathan Fillion, and Nathan Fillion's fucking amazing.
He is. That's
gonna
great.
He's going to be in a Marvel universe pretty soon, from what I understand.
As what?
I forgot who's going to be, but he's...
I'll look at it.
Someone will tell me in the chat room, but, you know, Nathan Fillion is amazing. But that's the thing, is that the worst thing you can do for me... As any character is make the bland.
So what's your who's your most, who have you connected with the most, and not of all time, like let's say recently in the past couple of years, who do you just say, you know what, this touched my soul?
Let's see. Well, as of late, I would probably say Frisk in Undertale, the main character, and sort of a lot of the characters in Undertale I connected with in one level or another. In kind of more AAA space, I'd have to think. You know, it's weird. I always have a tendency to connect with a lot of the female characters. Like even in 13, I connected with, like, Lightning in a certain way.
There's nothing weird about that. I am not gender biased.
No, neither am I. Neither am I. But I have a weird tendency to do that because I really connected with the main characters in Life is Strange, like in very serious ways. And I'm trying to think what else, like who else I've like really like, because it's always hard to say those words. Like I can say like I never really. I never connected with Shepard or was it Shepard? Was the guy from not Shepard? Who was the guy from fucking BioShock? BioShock. What's that game that was made by BioWare that they're famous for that has three different Mass Effect?
Thank you. But I don't remember the characters' names. I'm telling you, I'm bad with characters' names.
Okay.
Unless I've played it recently.
In Mass Effect, but confirmed Roberto is a hipster. No, the confirmed thing is that Roberto is very much a very, very weird... Very weird, dorky geek. Because even
we have
then,
not
like,
noticed. I'm just going to point that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you have not noticed. Cause I'm trying to think of a AAA character I've connected with. Not saying that it doesn't exist. I just have to really think of like AAA character. Like the hardest part is thinking what's like.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know that I've connected with any AAA characters lately.
That might be the thing. And I'm trying to think. There has to have been someone that I and maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what's happening is that a lot of the AAA characters are sort of becoming like there's like really good.
Does the Vault Dweller count?
I guess he does, but I don't know. I mean, because like the hard part is like I would almost say like the last vault person in Fallout 4 is the most linear story character, but that's even then I don't know. It's hard to that lip sync makes me. Oh, apparently the lip sync is apparently the lip sync is out of that. Well, we can fix
is the lip sync.
I think it's a little
off?
Bit.
We're actually speaking in another language.
Yeah, we will. Someone let me know if we can fix that in a bit. I still got to tweak a lot of the video shit.
Fantastic, chef. Though.
It's hard. It's hard
Godzilla.
To figure. I need to fix that.
I'll
tweak it later.
And later I'm going to add subtitles.
I'll tweak it later. I'll tweak it later in an info. I'll tweak it later in a test or something. Not right now into the show. But coming back to this whole thing, if I think about all the stuff that, yeah, I can't. The ship's computer has a small translation lag.
Is that from Galaxy Quest?
There's no video issue for me. Okay. Apparently something's happened. There's all sorts of weird things that it could be lag. I apologize for all that.
Damn you, lag.
Actually, probably what it is that the capture card goes a certain speed, the other captured audio device goes a certain speed, and because the quality of the mics are really good, and the video's not terrible either, but because the quality is really good.
I'm just saying that the quality of the mics are really good. Just gonna throw that out there.
Well, no, because like I noticed even like watching like some of the bigger studio stuff is that the higher quality grade the mic is, like lip syncing is always a tricky thing to sync for, because especially when you have a capture device is recording a certain speed, that's recording a certain speed, and they're all kind of in sync capturing. Like right now we're fine audio wise, and it could even be a browser issue too. Apparently Firefox could be that lip syncing is always the hardest thing.
Raise your hand if you like Firefox.
I like them all for a reason. But anyways, yeah, because I'm trying to think in my head, like, what's the last AAA character? Like,
I can't think of one.
Because maybe Raynor, but I don't even think Raynor, no. Like, it's such a hard, like, it's so hard to like, because if it's, maybe it's just, like, emotionally connected to or that. You know, I'll say emotionally connected might have been Raynor.
Are Borderlands considered AAA?
Yeah, totally AAA.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Anything made by
Gearbox.
Gearbox is totally a AAA
all
studio.
Right. So, because I'm kind of in love with Axton.
Okay,
not gonna lie,
that's cool.
And his turret. I want his turret. My husband and I have been playing that. Speaking of multiplayer type stuff, and
yeah,
then,
and that's it. That's and that might be the kind of game I might get back into something where it's like a co-op game. I think I want to get into. Like, I think co-op is an entirely different beast than
it is an amazing co-op. My husband is jamming on it. It's ridiculous. We started some characters together, and we play a couple of times a week, you know, because I need my own game time. But we have, like, date nights and game time. And he's already built yet another character that surpassed our characters together.
Like, yeah.
It's just such an amazing game. And the character development there's, you know, so speaking of, like, emotional and attachments, and I don't want to give anything away here if you haven't done Borderlands 2, but there is an AI that you end up, you know, kind of... attaching yourself to.
Yeah.
And when, you know, shit hits the fan and you find things out, I was like, you know, my husband's like, okay, try not to move on to the next thing. I'm like, shh, I'm listening to what she has to say. I'm like, I need to hear this.
Well, because like I, and I know a lot of people got annoyed by him, but I love the character to death. Like Claptrap, maybe.
Oh God, Clappy! I'm gonna cosplay him.
You're gonna cosplay Claptrap?
I'm gonna cosplay Claptrap. I want to get like something. Yeah.
Claptrap, be Claptrappington.
Yeah, Sir Clappy, Minion.
No, I love Claptrap. There's
it's
actually,
awesome.
I think it's in Borderlands the prequel. You can play as Claptrap, and they warn you like, hey, you know, did you mean? I forgot what it is, but like, so in the Borderlands the prequel, the sequel, mm-hmm, the third one, if you will. you can play as Claptrap or a Claptrap model. I don't know exactly.
That's
which,
awesome.
And I think you play as the Claptrap.
I haven't gone there yet. I have all the downloads.
But what it says is that I think it's it warns you like, okay, real quick, Claptrap is, you know, tends to talk a lot, does all this stuff. Did you mean to play as Claptrap? It's like, yes. Okay.
Let me just
double check again. Did you like? I think it like asks you like two or three times. Like, are you fucking sure you want to play as Claptrap?
Oh my god!
All right,
god.
Buckle in, baby. You know, because it's gonna be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, it's an endless stream of consciousness from this fucking robot.
That is what Claptrap is, and I love Claptrap.
It's amazing.
I love him because like I know people get annoyed by him because like I'm dancing, but I'm like I will
actually literally.
Those are the characters I connected with. Just the really.
So the text I get from my husband, literally, he writes. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's the noise Claptrap makes.
Whoop, whoop, whoop,
yeah, all the time. Like, I'll be sitting, like, I don't know, doing the dishes, and he'll come up to me, he'll be like, whoop, 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 and walk away.
Well, because it's just such a funny thing. But even in Borderlands, because I played Borderlands 1, and I did not finish it, I don't think. And I think I might.
It's so
I think
amazing.
I may have started on Borderlands 2. I have to double check.
It's just great. The comedy. And Charles was saying it's repetitive, and I suppose it is, like, to an extent.
Well,
because like,
ultimately...
You get better guns, you go, you shoot some people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a loot game. I mean, you know,
But the graphics are great.
Yeah.
The characters say funny shit.
Yep.
You know, you shoot a midget, and as he's dying, he screams, bicycle!
Yeah.
You know, it's just this funny shit. You're just enjoying yourself. You're having beer,
that's sort of
you're
what I liked about all the, all the different Borderlands games, because a friend of the cosplayer Chinbeard apparently did a Claptrap at one point.
Oh my gosh!
A lot of people have done Claptrap, but Claptrap's fun to do, and it's a funny character. I think again, it's such a another weird endearing character.
Okay, we'll see. Well, then if for AAA, that's been my latest. So
okay.
Accident and Claptrap, I'm really loving them.
That's cool because it's hard for me to think. It's hard for us to think AAA because again, we're bad at character names, but. But even I'd say Blizzard is AAA too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, and if that's the case, Kerrigan for life, baby.
Well, that's
Kerrigan.
Different. Yeah, I would say for me on the AAA side, especially Blizzard, I had to really really think who I've like. I mean, because I've had definitely emotional connections to Raynor at times,
yeah.
And Kerrigan at times, and all the different characters at various
Not
points.
Not Nova.
Nova's a weird character that I'm glad she's.
She's too smug.
I'm glad she's getting a little bit more of a development in kind of the expansion side of things,
yeah.
in StarCraft 2 sort of things. Because I always felt she got that her game got completely shafted.
Yeah, she was also
Ghost
was
going to be an amazing game probably, and then all this shit happened. But because again, she's a very interesting character. Because here you have this sort of like even in StarCraft 2, you know, you're given a mission to roll with Nova, if you will, and you can choose, you know, one
God,
side
I need
or the
to
other.
Buy that and see, but I can't.
I think it's in Wings of Liberty the mission happens.
Okay.
Fuck Nova under sniping evilness.
Evilness.
As far as you're thinking of all the Heroes of the Storm Nova, and I'm thinking of the
StarCraft.
I'm thinking of the StarCraft 2 character Nova, not the specific MOBA. Style.
No, they fixed her. They kind of nerfed her, and it was shitty. And then they fixed her, and everybody's been just like that. Fuck you, Nova. Fuck you all to hell.
So that look. That's
Kael'thas. They fixed nicely too.
That's called balancing, baby.
Yes,
that's called balancing, and that's something that has to happen in every game that's multiplayer. Else
we riot.
Else nothing goes forward. But Nova, I always liked as a character because again, here you have this, you know. Ghost for the Terran for the I don't even know what group it was at the time for the Terrans that she was because I forget what Raynor was part of. I know she's part of the Terran army, but I know that there's probably some type of I think it's like a Federation or Alliance.
Are there books? Just like there are Warcraft books? Are there StarCraft?
I'd like to
books?
Say yes. I don't know. It's such a hard thing for me. I have to double fucking check.
I'll double check.
But regardless of that, Nova, I've always liked as a character, especially in StarCraft 2 when Raynor sort of. Going, you know, rogue, if you will, and not really, you know, doing his own shit.
Yeah.
That and quite literally, like, still an outlaw of the, you know, for the rest of the. I'd like to say it's like the Federation, but I don't think it's the Federation. I think it's like the Confederate something or another because you know they take a lot. StarCraft 2 Terrans borrow StarCraft Terrans in general borrow a lot, very very heavily from, you know, the South and inspirations from that. Not all things from the South.
No, but there's definitely the sprinklings of it. You see the influence.
There's a reason why on Rainer's Jukebox, they've got a cover of Freebird on there. There's a reason why that they're singing, way down south in Dixie at times. Even there's it's part of the hints of things.
Apparently there were books.
So there were books. There you go. There appears to be novels. Thank you, guys. But Nova, I've always liked the character because she was a sort of this person that strict army, whatever. But she never really hated Rainer. She never really had anything against this guy, even though they're both, on different sides of the fence, so to speak. They both kind of had the same common goal. And I've always liked Nova as a character. Like, well, here's, because you think about the idea of a ghost in the lore of StarCraft. It's these very specialized units that are the only ones that have the ability to cloak, that have this stuff, that, have to go through some crazy rigorous training to be these stealthy.
Yes, it develops a certain kind of persona.
But that's one. And again, you start seeing a lot of the other ghosts that went crazy, batty, because at the end of the day, you're a trained fucking killer.
Yep.
And it's like, how do you rectify that? And again, can you ever really redeem from that? And I always like Nova's story in that regard. I was like, man, I'm glad she's finally getting her at least her dues, because I think as a character, the one thing Blizzard's done really well over time has made, and they keep doing, is making very strong and realized female characters.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
definitely one of the things I enjoy. Yeah, I enjoy thoroughly. They, without taking away from their leading males, they really flesh out their females. Yeah, exactly.
Very, very much so. And then they add a lot of very cool things. Even like Tracer has a really cool spunky attitude. I mean, and for lack of a better word, she is the,
she's the poster.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If there is a banner character for Overwatch as a series, I'm not saying that she's the only character that matters, but I'm saying like the character
Do you find her emotes and her voice, and so I don't know.
But I love that.
Cheers, love.
But that's cool. It's fucking British. It's like fucking bomber. She's like bomber 1950s fucking awesome girl.
So in
Heroes
of the Storm, and some of it I don't know. Maybe it's because I got British friends, and just some of it annoys me. Like, she's riding along, and she's like, I sure wish there was a pub around here.
I did too.
And I'm just like, I hate that line.
That's okay. Well, it's fair, but maybe she does. Maybe she wants a drink. How many dwarfs wish they could get a fucking bottle of ale? even Hearthstone says, pull up a chair, grab a
that's
glass.
A dwarf. I don't know. And maybe it's because it's a real thing. It's not a dwarf in a mythical whatever. This is like a stereotypical
Overwatch
UK.
Overwatch is real.
Yeah, because it's set in the real world. That's so fair. It's like, oh, God, they don't all want to go to a pub. They really don't. Well, maybe they do. I don't know.
I mean, what is that? It's like, maybe they do.
Everyone in the UK wants, let's face it, we all want to go to a pub.
Yeah, that's the question. That's the real question. It's like, I guess I want to go to a pub too. I'm like, because that's what I do. Like, I want to go to a pub too.
I thought it was supposed to be Aussie. Is she Australian?
I don't know. See, there you go. You can't even tell. I think she's
They don't go to pubs in Australia. They go to the Bottle-O.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Those characters are built from archetypes that will get close to stereotypes. If there's a Canadian character, you'll go, yeah, that's fair.
Even if they're less.
But regardless of that, they still do it. Like, again, they do a really good job of making very, very, very real characters. Maybe that's why I lean towards reflecting them, because even though I may not necessarily like, certain characters in there as that, like I hate them, but I hate them because I they have fucked over these characters and they've done it in a believable way. It's like you talk about
you hate the bad guys because they're bad guys. You develop that relationship with them.
Exactly. And even then it's cool. Cause even with like in World of Warcraft mentioning, they've gone back and shown because of the things going, they've shown like how Lich King actually became Lich King.
Right.
That he wasn't always this weird demon-y thing that he like,
and it almost makes you sympathetic.
That's the point.
It redeems him somehow, but then you're like.
But that's the point. The beauty part of the one thing, and I forgot who said this, but it was a really good kind of explanation about a good villain in a story, and a good villain in a story. I tend to like the two, like some of my all-time favorite types of villains are not even this. Like, some of my favorite all-time favorite villains are just ones that watch the world burn. Like, I always loved the Joker. I loved Kefka in Final Fantasy VI. Okay. And they're not necessarily...
Yeah, Kefka.
They're not necessarily, like, these really fleshed-out things. Because Kefka's like, what? I'm a crazy clown. Like, why do you want to kill the world? Because, you know, why do you want to become a god? Because I fucking can.
Right, because I'm crazy.
It's crazy, and I do like it. But some of the best villains are the ones where you can see... If they had just turned left as opposed to going right, everything would be fine. And you see that tragic flaw. You see that thing
if the
where
art school had only accepted Hitler.
Well, you joke, but you know, they like,
but it's but it's the same thought.
Yeah,
you know?
It's the same thought.
Like they could have gone either way.
Right. But even the idea is a good villain, a good fictional villain, is one where you can see the tragic flaw, you can see where they're wrong. But you understand where they're coming from.
Yes, you find that place.
And yet you still hate them for being wrong because, like, you're
wrong.
Batshit crazy. But I see where you're coming from. I see where things went wrong for you.
So we'll go full circle here. So does that also apply to Harley Quinn?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, like, you see, I mean, like Harley Quinn's cool character is that she's, you know, she was this psychiatrist that fell in love with her patient and is like really into a very abusive relationship,
right?
You know, I mean, Harley
have
Quinn,
you read the graphic novels for the
I need to, I've heard all
the suicide,
I've heard all of them, she's,
it's,
you know,
really good. I like what they do with her and the Joker there.
Go check them out at the library.
They have them all at the library.
Says basically not Arnold, Mr. Freeze, correct? Because Mr. Freeze, like, as a character, do you know like Mr. Freeze's like real backstory?
Yes, about his family and his wife.
There's a line in apparently animated series where it's like given so fucking coldly, where it's just like, you know, I would cry if I had tears to weep, and it's an amazing delivery.
Is that from the original Batman animated series on WB? Series.
Yeah,
which I watched the shit out of. I actually owned the
it's one of the
CDs
amazing things. I love that they moved Harley forward from that relationship. Yeah, for sure.
Yes,
but you know. Again, that's her backstory and that kind of thing. And I always seem to, when it comes to a good villain, you see that. And it makes for a story. So he's even, going back to Blizzard, because we're almost out of time. We've almost hit the hour mark here.
Ooh.
That's sort of Blizzard's thing. And that's why I kind of appreciated them over time is that. So, I say AAA characters that connect with I'd say probably in the, I know we're going to come back to this, the AAA space. Because it's such a hard thing for me to pinpoint. I mean, I'm trying to think of other, like, I'm trying to think of a Nintendo character. Like, no, maybe not. It's hard for me to pinpoint one character that I always connect with. But usually it's a series of them, and usually it's a very much a developer. It's like, I connect with Blizzard characters.
It sounds like you just have lots of love to give.
I do. Rosa, as always, it's fun to have you on, talking about games, talking about stuff like that.
Nerding out,
love
it. If
people want to watch you nerd out, because I know you do some stuff, you've been doing certain things, certain places, how can people find you and watch you do crazy stuff?
All right, so I have been twitching again.
Yes.
So We Devour, like Zagara. My channel's name is We Devour, and I've been streaming sometimes some Fallout 2, old-style click RPG, Borderlands 2 on date night. I don't tell my husband I'm doing it, so I let him get drunk and like just start going off the deep end on there, so I apologize in advance. And I was doing Overwatch during beta. Once it's back, I'll do some of that. And of course, Heroes of the Storm, where you will often hear my friend Seraphic Wolf slam his keyboard. It happens. You can hear him going.
Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
At least he's not breaking the keyboard.
Yes, and it's Aegis Rose, 1710 on Blizzard.
Nice. Go for it.
Join me for a game.
Yeah, totally. And of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. If you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, the Twitter account, which is at 8bitlife podcast there on Twitters, and of course, everything else in the network. And the other show I do with Rosa, Jump Point, whatnot, and gaming and all that fun jazz. And of course, if after you've paid for all the stuff, and hopefully if you have the ability to have subscribe, you know, subs that pay or whatever, what is it called in Twitch land when you have the people
donations?
Pay
donations?
Donations is one thing, but after you've given money to Rosa, if she has a way to donate money, you can head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and give money to the show. And I want to make sure I mention, if you're watching this recorded, you've already missed the time, but if you're watching this live, head over to the Podcast Awards and nominate my so-called 8-Bit Life for an award. Pick your category. We're either going for entertainment or the People's Choice Awards. But fuck it. If you think I fit in the mature category or something else, go ahead. Nominate away. This is the last time you'll hear it. The nominations will end on the 30th.
Help him win.
Just to get on the ballot at this point in time. But once that's done, yeah, this is the last time we ever do that. That we'll do the ever the plug. And I guess if you watch this recorded, it's already too late to nominate. Thank you so much for nominating, or thank you so much for not nominating again. But if you're watching live, head over to podcastawards.com and do that nomination for me, please. All it takes is your email and time, and that's it.
Awesome.
So that's it for the day. Tune next time. Talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.